ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another performance of famous radio players in a great play written by Ralph Rose and John Rich and electrically transcribed especially for radio, You Can't Argue with Love. Here is our director, Les Mitchell.
Thank you, Perry Ward. Hello, everyone. Our story is an amusing study of what happens when an attractive career woman meets an attractive career man, and both want the same career. I hope our male and female listeners won't take the subject matter too seriously and will be just as good friends when the story is finished as they are now. Our star is one of the regular members of our famous Radio Players Company, a young lady whose great ability is known from coast to coast and whom I believe is one of the great actresses of screen, stage, and radio, Miss Loreen Tuttle.
Well, thank you for all those nice compliments, Les. And may I say for all of us how wonderful it is for a radio actor to be recognized as an actor instead of being just a voice hidden behind a loudspeaker.
Well, I know our audience is just as gratified, Loreen, from the response that we've had from them. And now for a few pertinent facts. You have a very charming daughter, I believe.
Oh, yes, I think she is.
Well, from those charming mother and daughter pictures I saw recently, I would say that you are right to be proud of her.
Thank you.
Now, what about hobbies?
Well, acting is my hobby. I love to act.
Oh, I see. Very well. The hint's taken, so we'll retire from the mic and prepare for the play.
In just a moment, the Theater of Famous Radio Players will present lovely Loreen Tuttle in You Can't Argue with Love. But first, a word from your local announcer. Famous Radio Players presents Act One of You Can't Argue with Love, starring Miss Loreen Tuttle. Our play begins in the office of Congressman Ross Billings in Washington, D.C. Congressman Billings has had a hard day. He sinks back in his chair behind the desk and closes his eyes for a bit of rest. But at that moment, the door opens and Buzz Carter enters breezily.
Well, greetings, Ross. How's the House of Representatives?
Hello, Buzz. I was just trying to take a cat nap. I'm worn out.
Well, how come you're not listening to the radio?
Radio? Why should I be listening to the radio?
Why, Ross, I'm surprised at you. Martha Stacy's making a speech.
Martha Stacy? Who's she?
Ross, what's Washington done to you? Why, you ought to know Martha Stacy. She's from your home state. And believe me, there's an up-and-coming woman.
Well, what's she up-and-coming about?
What's she up and... Why, my boy, Martha Stacy is political dynamite. She's giving the women of the country something to think about. And the men, too.
So, why should I be listening to her?
Why, keep up with the trend, see how things are going. This is an election year, you know. You do want to be reelected, don't you?
If the people want me.
Give the people what they want and they'll want you. Now, you just listen. Why, I'm surprised you haven't heard of this woman. What do you do with yourself all day?
Are you kidding? You realize that there's a million things I have to do?
And so, women of America, I say to you that this war has proven women's ability to shoulder any and every responsibility. Barring sheer muscular strength, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that women cannot do as well, and in many cases, better than men.
Well, of all that's trite.
Unimportant social aspect of the relationship between men and women, considered women to be to themselves.
Turn that thing off.
Sheer dynamite. What did I tell you?
Well, of all the conceited impossible. That is, without a question of a doubt, the most bunk I've ever heard contained in one speech.
Well, maybe, but a lot of people are listening to her, especially the women.
Why, she's positively dangerous. I'd like to meet that old battle axe.
You and me both. Say, I think I'll call on her tomorrow. You want to go along?
Listen, Buzz, I've got better things to do with the people's time than listen to a crackpot, midget-brained old maid who's soured on men.
No, don't be hasty, Ross. If she ever decided to run for something, she'd pull a lot of votes.
Well, you won't stop her by giving her attention.
Well,
the thing to do with a dame like that is ignore her. Just ignore her, that's all.
So this is one of Mrs. Gaylord's Washington parties, huh? Looks dull to me.
Why, Anne, these are some of the biggest people in Washington, in the whole country for that matter. These are some of the people I'm trying to reach.
Well, they still look like stuffed shirts to me.
Oh, really? What about that man over there?
Uh-oh. Aren't you being unfaithful to your own philosophy, Miss Stacy?
Not at all. I recognize the need for men in social life. We need them as escorts, husbands. But they aren't really as important as they think they are.
I know. Don't tell me I know it by heart. But there's one thing you won't admit.
Yes, dear, and I know that by heart. I've never been in love with a man. Someday I shall be, and it won't change me in the least.
Have a sandwich, shall we? Oh, Billy. Dull, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that's the penalty.
Huh? Who are you looking at?
Oh, that girl over there.
Where?
By the table, eating the sandwich.
Oh?
Oh.
Yeah. Not bad.
She's gorgeous. Who is she?
I don't know. Why don't you ask her?
Hmm? No. Yeah, I think I will.
Oh, these are good. You know, Anne, I completely forgot to have lunch today. yes?
I beg your pardon. I was admiring your hat. It's most unusual.
Well, thank you.
I'm Ross Billings, representative from the state.
Why, of course, Mr. Billings. How nice. I've heard of you, and I should know you.
Oh.
After all, we're from the same state. I'm Martha Stacy, and this is Aunt... Mr. Billings, what's the matter?
You did say Martha Stacy, didn't you?
Yes.
I wonder, Miss Stacy, if you'd consider me presumptuous if I asked you to join me for a bite.
Now?
Yes, now.
Why, I...
Oh, run along, Martha. I can manage the way home.
Well...
I'll be honest, Miss Stacy. I heard your speech this afternoon. I'd like to talk to you about it.
Oh, you did? Well, of course, in that case, I should be delighted. I take it then, Mr. Billings, that you don't agree with my sentiment.
Seriously, now, you don't really mean all that stuff.
Well, of course I mean it. Surely you agree that women...
I have no quarrel with the job women have done. It's been fine. But it can't continue.
On the contrary, women must go even further. Take an even more important place in the world.
Look, I'll admit that when I heard you speak on the air, I pictured a dried-up, inhibited old spinster who only has such ideas because she couldn't get a man interested. Well, I see I was wrong. But... I'm not wrong about women's place in the world.
Oh, come now, Mr. Billings. You're much too intelligent to be one of those women's places in the home, husband.
I'm not married. But if I were, I should certainly want my wife to be in the home. Women were meant to be loved and have children.
And scrub men's clothes and darn their socks and cook their meals and clean their houses.
That's part of the job, yes.
Oh, Mr. Billings, you belong in the 19th century. Why, women have every bit as much intelligence, talent, ability, inventive genius.
Granted that some of them have. What does that prove?
Well, it proves that we should continue to be given every opportunity to better ourselves. Share equally with men in every field of endeavor.
I'm only sorry for one thing, Miss Stacy.
Yes? What's that?
It's a crying shame that such a beautiful woman who could make some man a wonderful wife should be such a dim-witted crackpot.
Thank you, Mr. Billings.
You're welcome.
And may I say in return that it seems too bad that such an attractive, virile young man who could make some woman a wonderful husband should be permitted to represent a great state in the Union and dabble in politics when there are thousands of women who could do a much better job. Good night, Mr. Billings.
Good night, Miss Stacy.
Get that dark cloud off your face. Drink your coffee.
Oh, that man. Oh, that impossible, conceited, egotistical stuff. Masculine baboon.
You feel better now?
And I'll make him eat those words if it's the last thing I do.
Hey, wait a minute. You've had arguments with men before over this subject. Lots of them. Why so vindictive about poor little Ross?
Oh, I've met stubborn men. But this creature. And to think he represents our state in Washington.
You stop me if I'm wrong, but little Annie smells more to this than just a matter of principle.
Well, what do you mean?
This anger of yours is one of the first really feminine traits you've ever shown. There's a slight elixir of love assailing my nostrils.
Love? With Ross Billings? Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Martha?
Oh, all right, so I am in love with him. That makes it all the more important. I've got to make him see things my way. Can't you picture me married to a man who'd expect me to consider being a housewife the most important thing in the world?
No, I can't quite picture that yet.
Anne, I've got it. Hand me that phone.
What are you up to?
You'll find out.
Hello?
Well, good morning, Mr. Billings.
Good morning. Who's this?
Martha Stacy.
Oh, good morning. I didn't expect to be hearing from you again.
Oh, really? On the contrary, Mr. Billings, you're going to be hearing a great deal from me. That is, unless you haven't the courage of your own convictions.
Now, see here, Miss Stacy.
No sense in arguing just between ourselves. We wouldn't be accomplishing a thing. I called to inquire whether you'll be kind enough to meet me in a public debate.
Debate?
Certainly. That's the only way to settle an issue.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm very busy.
What's the matter, Mr. Billings? Are you afraid you'll lose?
Certainly not.
Good. Then we'll hold the debate at home. We might as well let the voters hear what you have to say. What subject would you like, Mr. Billings?
It doesn't matter, Miss Stacy. The subject isn't important. The real issue is whether you can out-argue me on the debating platform. That ought to prove something.
Oh, indeed, Mr. Billings. It ought to prove a great deal. Oh, yes. A very great deal.
And the curtain comes down on Act One of Famous Radio Players, which is presenting Miss Lorene Tuttle as the star of You Can't Argue with Love. Here is your local announcer. Theater of Famous Radio Players presents Act Two of You Can't Argue with Love, starring Miss Lorene Tuttle. Several weeks later, Martha Stacy and Ross Billings have returned to their home state. The debate between them has received much publicity and is the subject for heated discussion. At last, the long-awaited day arrives. Hall is packed and jammed long before either of the two principals arrive. But finally, Mr. Billings and Miss Stacy seat themselves on the platform and glare at each other across the disturbed countenance of the moderator, Henry Bisbee, a mild-mannered little man who doesn't seem to relish his job very much. Martha is seconded by her friend, Anne, while in Ross's corner, his campaign manager, Buzz Carter, glances about uneasily.
What's the matter, Buzz? Stop fidgeting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ross. I wish you wouldn't go through with it.
Are you crazy? I've got to go through with it. Besides, I think I'm going to enjoy it.
It's political suicide.
Martha, call it off. Call the whole thing off.
Call it off? Are you insane?
Well, you're making a mistake. This is no way to tell a man you're in love with him.
I'll tell him I'm in love with him after I've won the debate.
Okay, it's your funeral.
Are you ready, Miss Stacy?
Hmm? Oh, yes, yes, quite ready.
Yes. Are you ready, Congressman Billings?
You said
it. Oh, did I?
Well.
Oh, yes. Very well. Quiet. Quiet, please. Quiet. Ladies and gentlemen. You are all aware of what's in store for you this evening. Miss Martha Stacy and Congressman Ross Billings meet each other in a debate in which I, Henry Bisbee, shall endeavor to act as moderator. The question is resolved that women have changed because of the war. Strangely enough, the affirmative is being argued by Congressman Billings, and Miss Stacy will present the argument for the negative. So, without further ado, I therefore present to you, for a one-minute opening address, Ross Billings, Congressman from the 5th District, Mr. Billings.
Miss Stacy, Mr. Bisbee, ladies and gentlemen, you have recently been hearing and listening to the words of my misguided opponent, Martha Stacy. When I first heard her speak over the radio, I remarked to a friend of mine that the only way to cure her was to ignore her. Needless to say, we disagree on this question, as well as the much larger question of men's place in society. Notice, please, that I say men's place in society. For believe it or not, Miss Stacy is of the unqualified opinion that women are more capable of performing men's accepted jobs and professions than men are.
This is not the subject we are debating. Mr. Bisbee.
Huh? Oh, yes, yes. Mr. Billing, if you'll be so kind, now please confine yourself to the subject.
I told Miss Stacy when she challenged me to this debate. Oh, yes, she challenged me to the debate. I told Miss Stacy that it mattered very little what the subject was. The real subject in her mind is simply, are women better than men?
Mr. Bisbee, make him speak on the subject.
And can they run your country?
Mr. Bisbee!
Yes, Mr. Billy. Quiet, please.
Yes, run your country. You all know I'm running for re-election from this district. Miss Stacy has deliberately calculated this debate to influence
Mr.
all of you.
Mr. Billy, I must ask you. No, lady, please, gentlemen, it's quiet, please. I'm sorry, Mr. Billings, but your 1 minute is up. Yes, quite. Miss Stacy will now deliver her opening 1 minute address. Miss Martha Stacy. Sit down, Mr. Billings.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and Mr. Billings.
Thank you.
I am not going to emulate my unworthy opponent. I am going to speak on the subject. Women have not changed because of the war. Women have always been the same, capable of thinking and acting and managing, capable of building roads and bridges, capable of invention and finance, yes, even capable of waging war. Women have always meant more to society than a good cake or a clean house or a cute baby. So now let us keep the things we have won. Let us do the things we are capable of doing. Let us continue to demand from men an equal place in their minds and esteem. Let us not revert to the menial tasks that men insist we shall do.
Told me she thinks women can do our jobs better than we can.
Mr. Billings, if you please.
How many times have you heard a woman on the air answer the question of her occupation with the timid, ashamed words, oh, I'm just a housewife.
Sure, we've heard them.
Women are ashamed to have to say, I am just a housewife. And rightly so. There is no good reason under the sun why women should be confined to slave labor
just because they fall in love with a man and get married.
What do you know about falling in love?
Perhaps more than you think, Mr. Billy.
Listen, why don't you admit that you don't want to see me reelected?
I'll admit it. I not only don't want to see you reelected, I'm positive that unless you change your attitude, that these voters won't reelect you.
And who do you think will defeat me?
Someone who appreciates a woman's viewpoint.
Yes. I suppose you think you could become elected to Congress.
If I were running against you, absolutely.
Mr. Stacy. Well, Miss Billings.
Why don't you file if you're so sure?
Very well, Mr. Billings. I will.
Good. We'll continue this argument on the election platform. Good night. Come on, Bud. What's got
Go on ahead, Ross. I'll see you later. Miss Stacy.
Yes?
Miss Stacy, I'm Buzz Cutter. Were you serious about running against Billy?
Oh, perfectly serious.
Great. I'll be up to see you tomorrow. I'm going to handle your campaign.
Oh, really? Why should you be so interested, Mr. Cutter?
Why? Because you're going to win, that's why.
Martha, what's the matter?
He didn't call, did he?
Call?
Oh, you mean Ross.
No.
Oh, it's been over a month. I thought sure he'd call. He knows I love him, I'm sure of it. And he loves me, too.
Oh, fine. Now, you listen to me, Martha Stacy. You may know all about building bridges and running the war and women's place in industry and everything else, but you don't know the first little thing about how to get a man. Let me finish. I can understand you're not caring enough about him or caring more about your own career or winning the election. But if you think for one minute that you're going to get Ross Billings by proving that he's wrong, you're as crazy as a mackerel herring.
But he is wrong. I know he is.
Is he? Is he wrong about wanting the woman he loves to act like a wife instead of a hard-headed businessman? Is he wrong about wanting someone to take care of his home and raise a family and give him love and kindness and give him encouragement when he's low and depressed? That's what it means to be a wife, Martha. A housewife that you say we're so ashamed of. It means giving a man right when he's wrong. Making him feel he's important, more important than you or anything else. So forget about Ross Billings, except as the candidate you're going to defeat for Congress. Oh, hi, Buzz. Come on in.
Well, well, well. How's the future congresswoman from the 5th District?
Oh, sit down, Buzz. I'm glad you came. I want to ask you something.
Why, sure, shoot.
How does the election look?
Look, are you kidding? Well, it's in the bag. You'll win by a 5,000 majority at least. Billings committed political suicide. I guess I know how to pick a winner.
And you're sure, absolutely certain that I can't lose?
Why, I'm offering 50 to 1 with no takers. You're a saint, sweetheart. Why, you're not worried, are you?
And suppose I were to withdraw from the race. Would Ross win?
Well, sure, but what do you mean withdraw?
That's it, Buzz. You can announce it. I'm no longer a candidate for Congress.
But Martha, hey, Anne, what is this? Why is she doing it?
I wouldn't know, Buzz. Unless maybe it's because she wants to be a housewife.
May I come in?
Hmm? Oh. Well, sure. Come on in.
Ross, I came to tell you that I've withdrawn from the race.
You what?
I'm not running. I've changed my mind.
Why?
Well, it isn't very pleasant for me to talk about.
Something wrong? You're not ill.
No, I'm not ill. It's just that... Well, I had Buzz make a comprehensive survey of the whole district, and I found out I couldn't win.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I realized that you'd beat me, so... Well, don't make me say any more.
Well, what do you know? Now, isn't that just like a woman? Quits when the going gets tough.
Yes, Ross.
No stamina. No force.
No, Ross.
So you admit you're wrong, huh?
Very wrong, Ross.
Why didn't you stay in the race and fight it out?
Because I don't want to fight anymore.
Just like a woman, always changing her mind. Well, what do you want?
I just want to be a housewife.
Whose?
Yours.
Will you be proud of it?
Very proud.
And happy.
Terribly happy.
Well, in that case, how about a kiss to seal it?
Oh, Ross. Ross, darling. Oh, you're so wonderful.
In just a moment, our director, Les Mitchell, will preview next week's show. Here is our director, Les Mitchell.
Well, Lorraine, who won the scrap?
Oh, I did, naturally. The woman always wins in such situations.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that...
Lester, remember what you said before the show about the boys and girls being friends after the play was over?
Well, I guess you're right, Lou Merrill. Lorraine, you were so convincing, I got a little excited myself. Thanks for a brilliant job of acting.
It was a pleasure, believe me. Now, what member of our company stars in next week's show?
Well, need you ask, Lorraine? What do you think I'm waiting for?
Oh, wonderful, Lou. What's the play?
Well, it's one of the best mysteries I've seen in a long time. And I guarantee it'll keep you guessing right up to the end.
Ooh, it'll be lots of fun. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. I'll see you next week.
Goodbye, Lorraine Tuttle and Lou Merrill. And next week, the Theater of Famous Radio Players will present Lou Merrill in an absorbing mystery entitled The Masquerader. Be with us then, won't you? Until then, this is Les Mitchell saying goodbye.
You Can't Argue with Love was written especially for radio by Ralph Rose and John Rich. In the cast, you heard Lorraine Tuttle as Martha Stacy, Bruce Elliott as Ross Billings, Kathy Lewis as Anne, Lou Merrill as Fuzz, and Forrest Lewis as Bisbee. Musical score for You Can't Argue with Love was written and directed by Del Castillo. It was produced and directed by Les Mitchell. Harry Ward speaking. Famous Radio Players Theater is transcribed by Universal Radio Productions in Hollywood.